I want to take a familiar text tonight. It's not going to be something that you have not run across before, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter 6. It is one of the challenging texts of the Bible. It just cries out to be preached. There are certain verses like that, and this is one of them. This prophet of God very well may have been the first time that he really saw the Lord as he did. Now, I think that Isaiah had one of the clearest visions of the Lord Jesus Christ as you're going to have anywhere in the Bible, especially from an Old Testament prophet. And tonight I want to just take this sixth chapter, this 13 verses. You bear with me and let me read all 13 verses of this particular chapter, and we'll pick up some nuggets from the chapter itself. And you may get out early, and you may not. I'm going to quit promising, and we're deviating from where we need to go. So let's pray and read Isaiah chapter 6. Father, we appreciate your grace tonight. Thank you for your marvelous love. And thank you for this Old Testament saint of God that could see clearly so many things about Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to appreciate it tonight, take it to heart. Bless our lives as we read the word tonight and let it speak to us. You said it would accomplish what you intended. And we ask that you accomplish in our lives what we really need tonight. And we'll thank you for it and praise you for it, for we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. He said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Well, I will certainly take the liberty to make some application of this particular passage because it is set in the Old Testament setting. And when it talks about until the cities lie waste, we understand that by and large it speaks of Judah. But I want us to use it because it is applicable today. Now again, I remind you that this may have been the first time that Isaiah met God. And what a meeting that it always is when you meet God. It's certainly an impressive occasion that we have here before us in this text tonight. And it is a life-changing experience. And that's always the case whenever we meet the Lord and see the Lord. He does make a difference in our lives. And he saw some things in his life at this particular time. Likely he's a younger man at this particular time, and he was privileged to go through the reign of several kings, and Uzziah was one of them. He saw in other administrations or other reigns, and in each case he had served the Lord well in that he was a good counselor. It's always good to have somebody that you trust that you can turn to and ask them to be a part of your life and to pray with you. But I would remind you tonight that Isaiah saw a man that would go the way of all flesh. It is a truth that we have to agree with without argument that if we live long enough, our day comes. My privilege this past week, and I call it a privilege because whenever folks are members of this church, I'd rather do the funeral than have anybody else do it. I think it's my responsibility as a pastor, and so I did the funeral for Brother Dwayne Matthews. He lived to be 80. But nonetheless, there did come the day in his life whenever it was said that he died. And you go back to the book of Genesis and you'll find out in those early chapters, as it gives the brief history of a man, it said, and he died. And he died. With some descendants that were named, that were his, it always points out that he died. Now, Uzziah was mostly a good king. He had a little bit of flaws in him. But nonetheless, by and large, when you look over his lifespan, he was a relatively good king. He defeated the Philistines and the Arabians. He fortified Jerusalem. And he loved agriculture. That was something that he took a great interest in, and he liked, apparently, to see things grow. And we like to see things grow, by the way, and most of ours we'd rather have them in human flesh. But nonetheless, we like to see folks grow in the Lord. So he had several things in his favor. He had fighting merit. He was capable in battle. His name was known. At that particular point, he became strong in his own eyes, and that's when he sinned. And he went into the Lord's house to make an offering when he had no right to go there. There was only one tribe that could go into the tabernacle and later the temple setting, and that was the tribe of Levi. But this man, like Saul before him, got in a hurry. And let me just take an aside for a moment and point out to you that you don't hurry God. He works in his own time frame. Does as he pleases. And doesn't ask us about it. Nor does he invite us to counsel him. He just simply does what he wants to do. But Uzziah became strong and sinned. He went into the house of God, and because of that, he became a leper until he died. And then we sum it up and say it is appointed unto man once to die. Again, I point out that I was privileged to do Dwayne's funeral this past week, and whether we believe it or not, he had beautiful feet because he carried the gospel. You realize that that early generation of Christians, by and large, walked all over the then known world and carried the gospel on their feet. We take buses, we take planes, we take vans and everything else, and we don't seem to get the job done that they got done because of one thing, they just stayed at it. They didn't deviate from their responsibility. Paul said, "This one thing I do." Now, everything else he did was incidental to that one thing. That was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing the truth of God's saving grace with lost humanity. He made tents, but he did so to supply the need of himself and others that were in company with him. So he could honestly say, this one thing I do. But there did come a time in his life whenever he would depart this life, and he himself said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Isaiah saw then this king that no doubt he had access to and could talk with go the way of all flesh. Then secondly, he saw the eternal God. Oh, what a need today to see God. I'm not talking about this superficial thing today that's advocated as seeing God, but the deep reality of the fact that God has done a marvelous work in our lives. This God that Isaiah saw is not limited to time. Uzziah is limited to time. You and I are limited to time. But God's not limited to time. Not only that, but he's high and lifted up. If we really put God where he belongs, he would not be relegated to a place where you couldn't even speak the precious name of Jesus Christ in public. Now, it has been proven, just so that you'll know if you're ever asked, to give an invocation at the council meeting downtown. You do have that right. Amen. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ. They'll try to tell you that you don't, and the Buddhist mayor that we had that's dead now asked me to pray, and I told him, be sure you want me to, because I want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Never heard a word out of him. So I would assume that he didn't want a prayer like that prayed in the council chambers. But that's the only name I know to call upon God in and through, is the name of Jesus Christ. But Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw him as holy. What is God today to most people? Well, he fills just any vacancy that we might have, and he's more of what I refer to as a Santa Claus God. He's more of a fix-it God than he is holy and high and lifted up. But I want you to know that there is a misunderstanding of God today. He's absolutely holy in all of his perfection. And truth of the matter is, he's overwhelming. Overwhelming. You can't see God like the Bible presents him and not be overwhelmed by that glorious person. Third thing I see in our text tonight, and I'll have to hurry to get you out early. He saw how sinful sin really is. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. Now, there is a temple setting, really, that comes into play here for us. What we read of here in Isaiah reminds us of what Solomon saw. That the Lord just filled the place and there wasn't any room for the priest to even function. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of a service? Where God's presence was so evident that there wouldn't be any place for us. Nothing that we could say. But Isaiah, after he had this particular scene come before him, saw that he was undone. And not only that, but he dwelt in a nation of undone folks. Well, I can go better than that. We dwell in a world of undone folks tonight. People that don't really know the Lord. And he saw himself as unclean, because that's the next move that we see. He saw the means of cleansing. Now in the temple that Moses was commanded to build, and it was a portable place, there were two altars in that particular scene. There was a brazen altar and a golden altar. On the golden altar, there was never to be an offering made of a blood type as would be offered out at the brazen altar. And you really couldn't successfully pray just being out at the brazen altar. What you had to do is come by the brazen altar with the sacrifice so you could come inside and come into play with God, in the sense that he would intervene in our lives. So as this man Isaiah stood there, woe me, I'm undone. Dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And he explained why, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. He saw that he needed cleansing. And sin is judged at the place of sacrifice. And that's why outside the city of Jerusalem on the hill called Calvary, if we could replay the scene, we'd find an old rugged cross. It wouldn't be one of these polished jobs that we find in most churches today. Truth is, there was a pretty good looking wooden cross that an old boy made and polished on and all that, that was here. They said, what are we going to do with that? And I said, get it out of here. I said, somebody will fall down and cross themselves before that and be praying at that particular cross. But outside the city of Jerusalem, it was just a couple of cross pieces, rugged wood, and nails were used, and he was nailed to that tree. So sin is judged at the place of sacrifice, and Jesus Christ made the sacrifice in that place. Now, it is not because of the dirt that is around it, nor is it any other influence that makes Calvary so precious, but Jesus Christ made a sacrifice there. And that cross should be very important in our lives. So Isaiah saw the means of cleansing, one of the seraphim. And I'll just take an aside and point out to you that they are of the angelic host. Apparently there's only three of them. At least I find no indication otherwise. Holy, 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 they cry. And they converse. One of them is now in that temple scene and in that tabernacle scene at the brazen altar. He takes the tongs and a coal from that particular place and placed it upon the lips of Isaiah and said, this cleanses you. I hope you've been to Calvary. I'll leave it there. So the coal touched his lips. Now, what we really need to see today is Jesus Christ. We need to see him condescend. That does not mean that he's less God than he ever was, but He was willing to take and leave all of the adoration of heaven, and he had the adoration of heaven. Apparently the angels play a great part in the scene in heaven. And we get to enter into it, by the way, and enjoy certain things. But our God came down past angels and took upon himself, if you please, the seed of Abraham. And we have then presented to us tonight one who condescended, came down past the strata of the angels, down to the place of a man. And he took flesh. And in that body he went to the cross and died. I'm so thankful it teaches that he laid down his life. He said, no man takes it from me. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. So he died and he arose again. And he has ascended. And he promised to come again for his own. I just throw that in. I'm giving you that. Then in the fifth point that I want to take out of this particular text, as I pointed out, we understand, at least we should, that by and large he's talking about being taken out of the land of Judah. But in that case, he saw an opportunity to serve God. Who'll go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Talked with a young man just today, and there's a debate in his soul about what he ought to do. And you know, that's one of the first young men that I've seen with a real keen interest in the things of God in a long time. Most of them have their own interest at heart. But I would that every one of our young folks would surrender to preach. Or to be a missionary, which would be involved preaching, that they take seriously this work of God, as saints of old have taken seriously the work of God. Can I just say this without sounding judgmental nor mean? Most of the bygone saints of a former day, they would not even have an interest in what goes on today that's called Christianity. In fact, they probably wouldn't recognize it as Christianity. And I'm beginning to wonder. I appreciate Dr. George Norris. He said to us as a class one time, he said, we're taking folks in on suspicion. Maybe they might accidentally be a Christian. Not the case. But God asked, who'll go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Isaiah said, yes, I'll go. And then in this text, Isaiah asked, well, how long am I to stay out here and preach? I mean, with a setting like we have in the context, until the land's desolate, not anybody else to preach to. And that's the only answer I have for a question of somebody who wants to serve the Lord. How long? Till there's nobody else to preach to. Carry the gospel to every creature. We're taught in every one of the Gospels, at least in a measure or a portion, the Great Commission. I think probably Mark got it about as brief as you can. Care the gospel to every creature. Preach to these folks. How long? Till there's not anybody else to preach to. You've got a job. It'll last a lifetime. It might last too if we could be allowed to hang around. But he saw an opportunity to serve God. And he said, here am I. Send me. I want to challenge you tonight. I don't think I'll even give an invitation. I'll just be available at the door.